This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Fall turns to winter, and with it, contenders become champions.
And the game is over! The celebration begins.
But pretenders become exposed and dreams will be dashed.
Fires into the end zone. Touchdown! No!
Georgia is on the mind of teams looking for a Super Bowl.
Welcome to Atlanta sightseeing.
Ma'am, in this brochure, it says this tour is crump.
It's a gold rush for college football's national championship.
Low jump, looks long, throws, end zone, touchdown! Alabama, the champion of
the road to glory is documented here.
But now is the time to work and strain at a sport that tests the spirit and challenges the brain.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National Mortgage Lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How's everybody doing this fine Sunday morning? Coming up this hour on the show, Nick Kostos, our Vegas virtuoso, is going to join us. We'll look at today's NFL action from an odds maker's perspective. Also, as part of the Insiders, you'll hear from former Heisman Trophy winner Ricky Williams on what he expects from his long-term health. Also, Kay Adams from NFL Network's Good Morning Football on the delicate relationship between her as a Bears fan and this year's Chicago team. And the NFL on Fox analyst Charles Davis will weigh in on what's going on in Minnesota with the Vikings. It's all coming up this hour here on the show. And it's always a treat for you guys, for me to hear from you guys as well on the phones at 855-212-4227. That toll-free number is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes you could save 15% or more on car insurance. You know, today is a huge one, obviously, between the Patriots and the Steelers. The Steelers' three-game losing streak in last week was just a gut-wrenching one for them because they go out to Oakland as 10-point favorites and end up losing as the Raiders go down the field on a, let's say, vulnerable Steelers defense in a crucial spot. And right now, the Steelers are kind of dead team walking. The Patriots are coming off that crazy loss against the Dolphins, and you would imagine that an angry Pats team and an angry Bill Belichick against a squad like Pittsburgh, where they traditionally own, makes for a really bad calculus, a really bad equation for the Pittsburgh Steelers. However, Pittsburgh has a reputation of doing the opposite of what we expect. And so the question is today, can the Steelers come back to life? We start things off with coming in hot.
2-1, you've got a pair of bogeys, 12 o'clock.
They're doing 500 knots.
Roger, that's your bogey.
Airspeed is still increasing.
Wood, you got them?
Not yet, I can't see them. They must be close.
Yeah, attention, air control. Someone tell DA he's coming in hot. This is CBS Sports Radio, over.
It's going to be a cold, damp, wet day in Pittsburgh. Temperatures right now in the 40s. Overcast, tarp is on the field, lot of rain. It's going to be the 4:25 Eastern kick, so a later it's going to play into the night. So conditions will not be great for either side. For Ben Roethlisberger and company, they have found all types of ways to lose. Roethlisberger throwing the interception in the end zone against Denver 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago, blowing the huge lead after halftime to the Chargers. Last week, losing against a horrendous team of the Raiders who was showing spunk right now, but no reason a playoff team should lose that game. Big Ben, how to turn it around against one of the best teams in football?
Well, we've had opportunities. We just, for whatever reason, haven't found a way to do it. So I don't think it's from a lack of sense of urgency. I just think it's Could be lack of execution, could be one thing here or there. So we understand what it takes to get it done, and we just have to do it.
I think lack of execution. I think sometimes they do take teams lightly. I think the Steelers have been very Jekyll and Hyde throughout the Mike Tomlin era, certainly the last 5 or 6 years of the Tomlin era. They have been extremely talented, and you cannot say they don't win because we see them in the playoffs regularly. We've seen them in the playoffs, even in the AFC title game a couple of years ago. Last year, they were one of the top two teams in the AFC with a bye. But they have this knack for gagging in spots where they should win. And so they always seem to make life harder on themselves than it has to be. Here's what I would say. I think while it's easy to say, right now the Steelers are a train wreck, the Patriots are angry, and the Patriots usually own the Steelers, and so this is a bad situation for Pittsburgh, I don't necessarily look at it that way, because we know Pittsburgh can play better than it has been. And because the Steelers routinely play down a competition, I think today we don't have to worry about that. I think also that first half against the Chargers was pretty brilliant. And the Chargers, as we know, were a really good football team. So what I'm saying is you add it all up. The potential of the Steelers against a really good team is the first half of the Chargers game, which means you've got to give them a shot to win. They're an underdog at home. Brady has obviously looked his age at times this year. Not all of the year, but at times. And the Patriots' defense is absolutely vulnerable. I think today the Steelers shock us with how good they look at times. Because every time we're about to put the stake in their heart, they seem to go the other way. And then every time we think the Steelers should win, they end up gagging away a game. I think they'll play really well today. Carson Wentz is out again. And yet another injury. And a different injury. And Doug Peterson, his head coach, is sick and tired of answering the questions about it.
He has a stress injury, evolved over time, and he requires no surgery. I'm not asking or answering any more questions about it. We're playing the Rams in 2 days, if you guys haven't figured this out. So he's listed as questionable, and that's the way it is.
So he's out for tonight's game. That's the Sunday night game against the Rams in L.A., which means Super Bowl hero Nick Foles is in. And I think it's absolutely valid to question Carson Wentz's long-term health and long-term durability, because the ACL tear last year and now a fracture in his back. If you look at his history in college, he had a fractured wrist that kept him out a number of playoff games. Remember in FCS, there's a college football playoff bracket. Also, the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that at the combine, he had a stress fracture that he battled with while playing at North Dakota State and broke his ribs his rookie season in the NFL. Wentz isn't that old to be dealing with all of those injuries. And I worry that Wentz, for as great as he is going to be this guy. Always banged up, always injury prone, always out of the lineup. And as great as Wentz is, and I know this year has been a bit of a real depressing season, I suppose, for Eagles fans that were hoping defending the Super Bowl was going to be a lot easier or a lot happier. But I'm not looking at this season going, well, this is all on Carson Wentz. I think that they've dealt with a lot of things. I think injuries have been a big part of it. I think the coaching losses that the team has dealt with in the offseason hurt. I also think that most of the team, maybe not Wentz because he wasn't part or on the field of the championship, I think they've all kind of taken it lightly this year compared to last year, lost the hunger, lost the drive, partied a little bit too much, lost the edge. So I'm not putting it all on Carson Wentz, but I do believe that Wentz's long-term health has to be questioned here. And as much as we all know he's got tantalizing potential is just going to be heartbreaking if he can't stay on the field. And yet another injury, perhaps ending his season, and he's a young guy, only in the league a couple of years. Yeah, I absolutely am concerned long-term about this guy staying on the field regularly. And earlier in the week, The Athletic had a very interesting report, which had a number of power brokers in college football, including Wisconsin AD Barry Alvarez, saying that the college football playoff, there's an appetite for an expansion of it beyond four teams. And Alvarez said an expansion of the college football playoff was inevitable. One team that would definitely want that is UCF on the outside looking in, their athletic director, Danny White.
The model just doesn't work. Four teams, you can't call it a playoff. You can't call it a real national champion, or at least one true national champion with only a four-team playoff. It seems like the committee each year has focused on different things. And when we come up and our potential for inclusion in a four-team playoff, which hopefully is a short-term problem, hopefully we get to an 18 playoff. But and so I will say I feel for the committee because they've had an impossible job. I think like it's very difficult to select four teams and really come across as fair.
That was from SiriusXM College Sports, and I think there's an interesting part of this that there's no clear-cut answer to. Are we deciding the most fair way to crown a champion, or are we putting in the most deserving teams? Because if we want fairness, yes, fairness is an expanded college football playoff, and fairness is an 8-team playoff because that's the only way you have five power conference winners. The only way UCF then gets in with a group of five bid. All right, so there's your six, and then two wild cards, the two best at-large teams. That's the only way we get there, okay? That's the only way we're the most fair. But I don't really care about being fair here. I care about the most deserving teams, the best teams competing. And the best teams are competing right now. Now, I don't think it's right that UCF has no path there. I don't think that's right. But once you expand this to eight teams, let's face it, then it's just about being the most fair. And that's fine, but that's not actually how this playoff is built right now. The playoff committee has said it's about the four best. And I think the playoff committee has opened up the door to this because they have gone away from the four best. This year, not putting Georgia in was about being the most fair. Had you put Georgia in, then you could have said, it's about the four best, sorry. But you see, the problem is that the committee walks this line and has one foot in each, and I think people at large want the most fair. I think people at large want it clean. Okay, so power conference champions. Okay, we know who wins those championship games, and thus we know who's going to be in the playoff, and that's easy for people. And then the best group of five. Okay, there it is. That's your ticket. It's clean. It's easy. People want that. But that's really not about then crowning the best. That's more like the NFL playoffs, where at 9-7, a team, or 8-8, can crawl into the playoffs and then win the Super Bowl. I mean, the New York Giants in 2011 were not the best team in the NFL. They were not the most deserving to get into the Super Bowl, but by virtue of the way that the NFL playoff is set up, 9-7 wins a division, and then they have a ride. They were great for the final 4 weeks when it mattered in the playoffs. But are they the most deserving Super Bowl champion in 2011? Of course not. That's just the way that it's set up. And if you want the bracket set up that way, that's fine, but that's about fairness. That's really not about crowning the best champion. Is it inevitable? Yes, absolutely it is. An expansion of the college football playoff is inevitable because college football has benefited from a huge boom in interest and a huge money influx with the current playoff, and the powers that be have proven one thing over and over again. They are not beholden to the tradition of anything. They are beholden to fattening their paychecks. And the way they'll do it is by expanding this because they know it's a win, and so yes, that is inevitable. When we come back, our Vegas virtuoso Nick Costos will join us, our NFL handicapper du jour. Let's look at today's action from a Vegas and oddsmakers perspective. DA, Sunday Morning Football, CBS Sports Radio.
Winners, whiners, wise guys. Every week we scour the NFL odds with our resident sharp, Nick Costos, to see where you should plunk down your scratch.
Place your bets.
Sunday Morning Football, making wagering fun again. Only on CBS Sports Radio.
Thanks for being with us here on Sunday Morning Football. DA with you, Damon Amendolar. Nick Costos joins us each and every week from CBS Sports HQ and Sportsline. Nick, good morning.
DA, what's going on? Happy Week 15 NFL Sunday. We've already had some winners this week. Love the Cleveland Browns yesterday, and I am ready, like Santa Claus, to dole out winners today to all the listeners.
A bunch of stocking stuffers for you guys, the listeners of Sunday Morning Football from Santa Costos. And so let's start with whatever your favorite line is. What's your favorite number, your favorite over-under, your favorite anything today?
Okay, well, I got so many here. You're forcing me to pick one, so I'm going to have to go to Soldier Field. And you know, DA, everyone's been saying all week, they've been saying Aaron Rodgers and the Packers are 0-6 on the road this season. So how can they win this weekend at Soldier Field? My response to that, this isn't a road game for the Packers. They absolutely own the Bears in Soldier Field. Soldier Field is the house that Aaron Rodgers built. And don't look now, DA, but the Packers' rest of season schedule after this week, the Jets and the Lions, the Packers are going to win out. And if things shake out right, we could be looking at Aaron Rodgers and the Packers as the sixth seed in the NFC playoffs. I think the Packers go into Chicago, and I think that they are going to beat the Bears. Big game for Randall Cobb. And here's what the important matchup. Bryce Callahan, Chicago slot cornerback, is out. That's going to be a big deal, right? And that could help neutralize some of the pass rushing on the edges for the Bears. Some quick passes over the middle. And I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have a classic Aaron Rodgers game. They turn over Mitch Trubisky a couple times. Packers with the points and a little money line sprinkle as well on Green Bay.
Interesting. And so thus the Packers would keep their flickering playoff hopes alive. There's a lot of games today that are kind of sad sack games. Two teams going nowhere. And that includes the Lions and the Bills. And I just want for you to give us a reason to watch a 5-8 versus a 4-9 team go at it in front of a few thousand fans in Buffalo that'll certainly want to just get out of there without having to spend too much time in the cold.
Well, I'll tell you what I like in this game. I like the under. I think it's going to go on under 40 points. I don't see a lot of points in this game. And in a bunch of my fantasy playoff matchups today, I've got both defenses on either side, both Buffalo and Detroit. The reason to watch this game, though, Josh Allen's really exciting, the rookie quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. He's got, obviously, that cannon arm, and it's really his mobility that's been really surprising, and it's really taken me aback a little bit. He's a ton of fun to watch. Now, betting on this game in terms of a side, I don't think I can do it because, again, it's two really bad teams going nowhere. I'd probably take the points with the Lions, but the under would be my preferred play in this game. I see something like a 17-14 finish.
Nick Costos joins us from CBS Sports HQ to look at today's NFL lines. Take me inside Steelers and Patriots. We know what happened at the end of the game last week for the Patriots. We know that the Patriots seem to always own the Steelers. The Patriots are favored by 2.5 points in this game at Heinz Field in Pittsburgh. Where are you playing?
I'm going to take the Patriots on the money line, and I feel really good about it. Now, I do have the Patriots -2.5 as one of my super contest picks out of the Westgate contest in Las Vegas, but I feel more comfortable just taking the Patriots to win the game, although I also think that they will cover that spread. You said take you inside the Patriots and Steelers. Here's all you need to know. The Patriots own the soul of the Pittsburgh Steelers. Ever since Belichick and Brady have been there, 2001 AFC Championship game in Pittsburgh, Drew Bledsoe off the bench. Ever since then, it's been Patriots dominating the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what's going to change today? The Steelers now on this terrible three-game losing streak. They look awful, and the Patriots should have won that game last week in Miami. And remember a couple weeks ago, Sunday Night Football, how did the Steelers choose to defend Keenan Allen in the slot with a linebacker? Ridiculous. Bill Belichick saw that. Julian Edelman's going to have a monster game. Gronk's going to have a big game. Brady, 300 yards, 3 touchdowns. Patriots beat the Steelers like they always do. Major coaching mismatch in this one, Belichick and Tomlin.
The Vikings had to mix things up this week after a dreadful performance by the offense. John DeFilippo is out. That means the Vikings at home trying to get involved with a new scheme, a new offense, or at least more of a streamlined play-calling situation. And we would think with this kind of turnover that there might be some problems and panic in Minnesota, but the Vikings are favored by 7.5 points at home against the Dolphins, more than a touchdown. That's very rich for my blood. What do you think about Vikings laying 7.5?
Oh, I don't think it's rich enough. And, DA, you know, last week on the show, that was the only losing pick I gave out was the Vikings. Of course, they screwed me out of a 5-0 week in the Super Contest with that egg that they laid on Monday night, Humpty Dumpty size. But I'm going back to the well this week with the Vikings. And the reason why, it's less of a play on Minnesota than it is a play against the Miami Dolphins, who are an extremely fraudulent 7-6. And all you need to do is look at point differential to see that. The Dolphins, despite being one game over 500, have been outscored by 55 points this season, which is absolutely ludicrous. And I think the Dolphins team total is going to go under. I think this is a big game for the Vikings defense, more so than the Vikings offense. But I do think Cousins is going to bounce back at home here with Thielen and Diggs. So I think the Vikings win this game by 10 points, and I feel pretty good about it.
Interesting. Nick Costos joins us here to look at today's NFL action. I can't believe I'm saying this, but the Giants actually have a road into the playoffs. They need to win all three of their games and have some help along the way, but the help is not crazy for them at 8-8 to get to the playoffs, but they've got to do their share. It starts today at home against the Titans. Tennessee's actually favored of this game by 1.5. What do you think about a rainy, wet Meadowlands today where the Giants have still a shot at actually making the postseason?
Well, I think I grew up a Giants fan. Unfortunately for me and other Giants fans, I think that those roads to the playoffs, I think there's actually a sign that we fail to see that says dead end, because those playoff hopes are gonna end today. You can't take the Giants in this game with no Odell Beckham, and that there's been a major movement in this line. When it was announced that Beckham would be out, the Giants were actually a chic favorite earlier in the week at around -2 or -2.5, but I simply can't advocate taking the Giants without Odell Beckham, even with Saquon Barkley there. I still can't do it. And this Giants run defense has not been good since trading Snacks Harrison over to the Detroit Lions. And I don't think Derrick Henry is going to do what he did last Thursday with those 4 touchdowns against the Jaguars, but I think Tennessee is going to control the clock, and Mariota is going to have 50-plus rushing yards in this game. So I'll take the Titans here begrudgingly, but it's going to be a no play for me as far as my own money is concerned. But there's no way that I can advocate taking the Giants without Odell Beckham.
Let's wrap up with a Sunday night game. Eagles and Rams. Wentz is out. Foles is in. Is there any more Foles magic here? This is on the road in L.A. Rams are a 13-point favorite.
If you want to bet on this game and you want to talk yourself into taking Foles and the Eagles, the only way that you can do that is to tell yourself that there's a ton of value on this line. And I actually believe that to be true. I will not lay it with the Rams now that this line is almost up to 2 touchdowns. I mean, the spread is 13, and I get it. Wentz is out and the backup's in, and it is kind of ludicrous, though. Foles did win a Super Bowl in this calendar year. I'm not stumping for the Eagles to potentially win this game, but if I'm betting one way or the other, and I'm sure I will end up doing that, I'm going to end up taking the points with Philly, because 14 is way too much in this game. So I will take the points with the underdog here. So,
sometimes I wrap up this segment and don't ask you about your Monday night pick, Saints and Panthers. Is there anything you like with the Monday nighter?
Yeah, I like the Panthers. I think the Panthers will cover, and I give Carolina a chance to win the game here. Breeze, obviously, a much different quarterback outdoors than he is in the Superdome, and this is Carolina's Super Bowl here. Losers of 5 straight, 0-5 against the number over that span, so I think Carolina's going to come to play. And remember, the 4 best words in the English language, primetime home underdogs. We get that on Monday night with the Carolina Panthers.
Nick Costos, CBS Sports HQ, watch on any device, and the host of Sportsline. Watch as he will continue breaking down all the Vegas odds and handicapping and looking inside the lines of the NFL day on Sportsline. So catch him there and follow him on Twitter as well, at the Costos, KOSTOS. Nick, it's always great. Santa Costos, good to have you here, and we'll talk to you next week.
DA, appreciate it. Bonus stocking stuffer. Colts beat the Cowboys. Colts cover the spread today in Indianapolis. Appreciate it.
Very good. Thank you, Nick. Nick Costos joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football, as he always does. When we come back, I've got your insider segment as Ricky Williams, the former Heisman Trophy winner, weighs in on his thoughts on long-term health for himself and other players. Charles Davis from the NFL on Fox on what's going on with the Minnesota offense and panic in Minnesota. And can you trust the Chicago Bears? We'll get to that all coming up here next.
CBS Television Sports presents the National Football League.
You're locked in to Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio with your host, D.A. We ask those who are in the game for their thoughts on the game.
Congratulations, man. That's all.
It's time for The Insiders.
I'll knock you out.
It's a doubleheader day, all about the playoffs as Miami takes on Minnesota. Huge game with 2 teams fighting to win their divisions. While the Patriots collide with Pittsburgh, the day kicks off with the NFL Today, powered by Ram at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific, only on CBS Sports. Speaking of, let's go inside today's NFL action with people that are in the know. DA back with you here on Sunday Morning Football. We begin with Ricky Williams. Ricky dropped by my studio earlier this week here on CBS Sports Radio and had such a fascinating Q&A with him, because remember, Ricky used to be totally penned in by his own social anxiety. He would wear his helmet during press conferences and press scrums. He was very reserved, very paranoid, very skeptical. He felt all the criticism, and he just really didn't know how to deal with it. Very, very socially anxiety-ridden. And after he got done with football, he went to work on it. And now he is such an easy conversation. He's so talkable. He is so conversational. It's really great to see a guy make that type of transformation in his life. And so he dropped by the studio this week so we can kind of deep dive into his new football leaguer. He's one of many kind of part owners here, a lot of former players involved, including T.O., Jeff Garcia, and others. But it's the Freedom Football League, and he is trying to weave together health and wellness for players as the director of health and wellness for this new league, which is scheduled to pop up in 2020. And so I asked Ricky, having played the position that he did, he was one of the great college running backs of all time at Texas. I said, where are you when it comes to concussion, CTE, where we are and how you feel long-term about your health ramifications?
I assume that they're coming, especially the way that I played football, but I've also spent so much resources, time, money, taking care of my body and trying to do things to help myself recover. I think one of the things that's not talked about enough with professional athletes is in order to strive as a professional athlete for the long term, you have to have the ability to recover and to heal yourself. And I don't think athletes utilize that capacity enough.
No, for years, the NFL essentially just fed pain medication to these players. And it was just take more. And it has created a dependency on pain meds. And we know how badly that has affected this country as a whole, outside of just sports, but what pain meds and opiates have done to the country in general and big pharma and all of that. And so for the NFL, I think it's only understandable to become more understanding towards medicinal marijuana and other alternative health roads and paths, because I would much rather have these guys smoking marijuana and using cannabis to get over these pains instead of becoming addicted to pain medication. And you know, Ricky has become open, very open. He's always been very open about medicinal marijuana, the benefits of marijuana, et cetera. But I just think that it is time that the NFL re-looks at, views, and reassesses where we are, because as a country, it's no longer, you know, the type of evil that it once was. It doesn't have that same kind of viewpoint. Most of the country has now become very understanding about the beneficial uses and where it stands in society. It's no longer this kind of chemical pariah. So it's only logical that leagues like what's going to come up, the Alliance of American Football this spring, and then the XFL next spring, and the Freedom Football League with Ricky Williams and others after that, accept marijuana as a medicine for these guys. And I think it's really interesting that Ricky essentially says, I'm preparing for a life where there's long-term health ramifications because of when I played and the position that I played in. And it's jarring, but it's real. And Ricky's a real dude. If you missed that conversation, I definitely encourage you to listen to it, because we touched on a lot of really cool stuff. It's available if you go to daoncbs.com. He joined me earlier in the week. That's also available on iTunes as well. Just search my name and CBS on iTunes, and you'll see the conversation with Ricky. It's also available on YouTube as he joined us in studio this week. Kay Adams, the host of Good Morning Football on NFL Network, grew up a huge Bears fan. And I asked her this week, Kay, can you buy into the Chicago Bears? Do you feel comfortable going all in on your beloved the Bears?
I liken it to being in a relationship where I can't, you know, like he's asking me to move in and maybe I'm staying there, but I'm still keeping the lease to my old place because I'm a little bit scared. So I'm slowly like, oh, I'll meet your parents. Fine. And last week when they took down the Rams and held them to 6 points, we went out and got tattoos of each other's names. And I'm really in the moment, but I'm not an idiot. I know what's coming. I know it's Aaron Rodgers. I know their team might not be the team of old, and he might not look like he's looked in years past, but he's healthy. He has the Bears' number. And if they lost this game, I would not be shocked. I'd be heartbroken, but I would not be shocked.
I love that metaphor from Kay Adams from NFL Network. She's in a relationship with the Chicago Bears, and right now she might be staying at his place, but she's not breaking her own lease. And yes, maybe she's been introduced to the parents, and yes, maybe they're in the moment and they got tattoos together, but she is not all in yet because she's waiting for her heart to be broken. I just loved that analogy from Kay. And the Bears are very good, and that defense is extremely good, and Trubisky seems to get better as the season goes on. And I mean, the Bears, their defense is a sight to behold. But would it shock anybody if Aaron Rodgers went to Soldier Field and won today? Would it shock anybody if this is the start of a little Packers run? Would it shock anybody if the Bears suddenly kind of come back down to earth and we say, well, meh, maybe we overshot the Bears? You know, I think Chicago has had an incredible season. And if they win the NFC North and they host a playoff game, and even if they're one and done, say the Seahawks come in and beat them or something like that, it would sting, but I think you would know that Matt Nagy, Trubisky, Akeem Hicks, Khalil Mack, and the rest of those guys are the perfect foundation for winning in Chicago. And Nagy, to me, has proven to be one of the best new coaches in the NFL in a long time. I just think his game management, his coaching style, his Andy Reid offense, I think there's just a lot to really like about Nagy, but I totally get why Bears fans can't quite pull themselves to totally buy in. And Charles Davis, the NFL on Fox analyst, who we just love so much having on the show, I talked to him about the Vikings making the change. DeFilippo gets the axe and a lot of pressure on Kirk Cousins this year to get the Vikings to the next level. And last year, the Vikings were in the NFC Championship game. This does not feel like a Super Bowl Vikings team at all.
You know what their biggest issue was going into the season that was probably underplayed was their offensive line. I don't know that that's ever truly gotten fixed this year. Okay, Pat Elflein was supposed to start at center. He was hurt in the preseason. He didn't play the first couple of games, right? Mike Remmers, who struggled in the Super Bowl with Carolina with Von Miller. Now, is that really a crime? No, because everyone struggles with Von Miller. But it was acute that day, wasn't it? Just ran around him the entire day. Is he a tackle? Is he a guard? They played him in both places. Okay, is Riley Reiff truly your left tackle? They've gotten away with it, but is he truly the left tackle you're looking for? Another question they have to answer. And right on down the line. So when you look at it, it started there, and that problem's never gotten fixed. I know Mike Zimmer keeps harping, I want to run the ball. Atlanta wants to run the ball. I had them last week. They're determined to run the ball. They can't run the ball because that whole line is not very good. Like if I'm in Atlanta, and I'm sitting there right now, if I go into next year, I have two guys that I think I'm counting on. I know I'm counting on Alex Mack, my center, and left tackle Jake Matthews. The other three spots are up for grabs. I think in Minnesota, you have a similar situation. It's really been underplayed because Kirk Cousins signed for a whole lot of money. Now, am I absolving him totally? You know me pretty well, D.A. The answer is no. He's got to play better, and he's operated behind probably worse lines at times in Washington. So he understands how to do that. You get paid that money, it's going to be magnified, there's going to be an extra spotlight, you have to make the throws, you have to make the plays. I think John DeFilippo took the fall because Minnesota wants to prove that they're trying their best to make the playoffs this year and be the team they expect it to be. I don't know necessarily that, I'm just going to say it, I don't believe for one second that John DeFilippo has been the major problem there. He's trying to call a game to move the ball, and what he never came out and said is, it's line has trouble moving people. It's hard to run the ball when your number one runner's in and out of the lineup in Dalvin Cook.
It was a weird fit all season long. It was a weird fit because DeFilippo, I think, wanted to do things that Mike Zimmer didn't. I think Mike Zimmer wanted to run the football, desperately wanted to play a ground and pound, big time defense, physical type of style. And yet here are the Minnesota Vikings handing over $84 million of guaranteed money to Kirk Cousins and John DeFilippo coming in as this hot coaching candidate. And I think it just didn't mesh because You might want to run the football, but you've got this big-time quarterback, and you've got these weapons like Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs, and do you not use them? And so the whole thing just never really made sense. The marriage was wrong. You know, it was like a guy who parties all the time marrying a lady that just never wants to go out of the house. It just never is going to work. And maybe getting rid of DeFilippo right now is better, but I think there's also a limit to what Cousins can do. And you give Kirk Cousins all that money, and I agreed with it from a Viking standpoint of the offseason, saying that, well, Cousins is better than Case Keenum. He is. But Kirk Cousins is also ultimately limited. He can only get you so far because he is not a great quarterback to be able to elevate his entire team. Kirk Cousins is the guy that you trust when you're on vacation to water the plants and take out the pets and get your mail and watch your house, but not the guy to plan your vacation because that vacation is going to be real boring. You're going to very predictable, very boring. Go to the same chain restaurant, say the same chain hotel. It's, you know, we've all been there. You don't want him planning anything exciting. You just want the safe, okay, he'll watch the house. We know the plants are going to get watered this week because Kirk Cousins is watching over it. Let's get to your football forecast.
CBS Weather Watch, our forecast with your personal touch.
It's DA's football forecast.
In Buffalo, temperatures in the 30s. It's cloudy, it's rainy, it's miserable in Western New York today, but there's also about a 50% chance that Bills fans are going to leave happy after the game. At least the ones that go to this game or the ones that watch on TV, because you might have a franchise quarterback the first time you can really say that, perhaps, since Jim Kelly. I mean, Josh Allen has been very up and down, but Josh Allen's been given almost no weapons this year, almost no reason to succeed this year, and there's been moments where you go, ooh, I like that play from Allen. He's been far too inconsistent for my liking. But look, Bills fans are just saying, don't be E.J. Manuel, and don't be Ryan Fitzpatrick, and don't be Tyrod Taylor, and don't be Kelly Holcomb, and don't be all of these bums that have come through. I mean, Tyrod Taylor was a superstar compared to those other bums. Just give us something to believe in, and perhaps today there's something to believe in as we creep closer to the end of his rookie season against a Lions squad. Chicago, temperatures of the 40s. It's going to be sunny, one of those crisp, nice Midwestern winter days, but a 70% chance that the hype train of Aaron Rodgers kicks into overdrive tomorrow. If Rodgers or the Packers win in Soldier Field today, suddenly you watch. Oh, look at this. If this happens to the Packers and this breaks their way and this team wins, watch out for Rodgers. And now there's no Mike McCarthy. And wouldn't this just be so Rodgers that McCarthy gets the zig and suddenly they go on a run to the playoffs and everything kind of breaks their way and now they're the team nobody wants to face in the NFC postseason? And finally, in New York, also 40 degrees, rainy, miserable all day at MetLife Stadium with a 90% chance that Saquon Barkley continues to put another chapter into one of the best rookie running back seasons in recent memory. Saquon's over 1,100 yards in his last 4 weeks, his last month of the year. Over 100 yards to the ground every single week. Last week, he averaged 12 yards a carry. 3 games ago, he averaged 8 yards a carry. This guy's going to end up with about 1,500 yards of the ground, and he's going to end up with close to 2,000 yards from the line of scrimmage. When all is said and done, receiving-wise, he's already caught 600 yards worth of footballs as well. Saquon Barkley is going to continue that today against the Tennessee Titans, and when the dust settles, you're going to say, boy, that guy had one of the great running back seasons as a rookie in a long time. All right, thanks to Tom DiBenedetto, your executive producer of Sunday Morning Football. Thanks to Anthony Pierno, AP, on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Sam Rubinoff at WatchDA.com with a simulcast of Sunday Morning Football. And thanks to Alyssa Rose on your headline today. Enjoy football, everybody. I'm back to break it down tomorrow morning on my show, The DA Show, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern time here on CBS Sports Radio. Have a great Sunday, everybody.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.